Okay. Anyways, thumbs up. All right. Hey, happy Wednesday to everybody. I love you. I appreciate you. You're awesome. And I just want to say something, man. I love the weather, people, but, you know, come on, man. The sky's falling. The world's falling. I mean, everything. How many of y'all listened to what was being said? I know there's some bad things happening in certain areas, but wow. Wow. Nah, it's all good. God is good. He's faithful. He's going to take care of us, and he's got the angels around us. The blood of the Lamb's been applied. But, you know, there were people closing up shop all through the day, all over the place. Yeah, all over. And I just thought, you know, I was texting Cindy. I was saying, in 5 years, we never closed the building. I think one time. And it was snow and ice, and the only reason I couldn't get here was my sled broke down. And, no, you remember my reindeer, yeah. Rudolph, he had a short circuit, and I couldn't come. But remember that? That was about the only time, maybe once, twice, I think. That's it. And so, I mean, I guess if strong winds could have come on, just hold on to something valuable, and we'll just ride it out. But anyways, if you just listen to everybody, the sky is falling. And, you know, and I just want to say this on that. You should take precautions. We use wisdom. And if it's not good, we're not going to be, you know, put ourselves in jeopardy. But this is indicative of where we are in the world today, that everybody wants to run from trouble instead of getting into it and being faithful to what you need to do. There's a lot of silly people tonight that are not going to be in church. And anyways, that's all I wanted to say about that. It just bugs me when we live in a snowflake flake generation, yeah, snowflake too, where just people cower down at the slightest trouble. What happened, you know, to onward Christian soldier? What happened to having a backbone like a T-rail and standing up and having some common sense and saying, if you're watching the storm and it's 2 o'clock and you've got church at 7 o'clock and it's moving at 55 miles an hour, can you do the math? I think you're going to be okay by 3 or 4. But everybody wants the sky to fall, and just that's it, you know? Anyway, so I'll save that for Sunday. Let me start all over again. Happy Wednesday to everybody. I love you, and I appreciate you. I had to get that out of my system. We welcome everybody listening to us tonight from all over the different places. We love the Ignited Church family, near and far, here and over there. Amen? And everywhere. We just love the body of Christ. Last time we got together, we're talking about the battle for the mind. This is our kingdom perspectives, our Wednesday night teaching, kingdom teaching. And we've been talking about the battle for the mind. I've been laying some foundation. I'm going to continue to lay that foundation for you. Some of this is elementary. Some of this is really new to a lot of people because we don't have a lot of teaching that's done on the triune person. We just, you know, in Pentecostal charismatic realms, we just talk about the Spirit of God, and all these different things. But we never talk about how to be led by the Spirit of God. We're never taught how to deal with our flesh and our emotions. And these can be holy things. These can be tools used by God or weapons of the devil. And so we need to get to the point where we understand who we are and how God designed us so we can start having some victory. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of messed up Christians messed up in the mind first. Messed up in the mind. Got crazy ideologies, crazy philosophies, crazy, you know, religious doctrines, crazy attitudes, and all these different things. And they can be fixed. They can be fixed by the Word of God and understanding who you are. And listen, we're all under construction. You didn't have to look at me when you said that, but, you know, I am under construction. I mean, if I rip this shirt, you know, it's not going to have an S for Superman. It's going to say under construction. Amen? And you are too. So let's go get under construction by the Holy Spirit. All right, so battle for the mind. Last time we got together, I talked about I am a spirit who possesses a soul and lives in a body. That's a great statement to walk on and work in and go through in your mind and repeat this. I am a spirit first, a spirit being. I live by the Spirit. I possess a soul and I live in a body. I'm having a body experience, but it should be led by the Spirit. Okay? We are made to fellowship with God. Remember that? From spirit to spirit. John 4:24 says that what? God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so there's a balance. That's why, you know, we worship the way we do here, and we're striving to have this praise team to where we can continue and prolong, if you will, the worship time. Really, I'm very serious about this. I'm looking forward to services to where we never preach at all. We just worship God. We just praise him, and prophecies come forth, and maybe one word, I'll get up and speak one word in the Bible, and that's it, and we just worship the rest of the time. I don't know, but that's coming, and that's being led by the Spirit. That's having a spiritual service unto God. Amen? I hunger for that. I really do. That's why you'll never find a Redback hymnal here, because, you know, I'm not against hymns, but what I'm against is that we don't worship in the truth of the Word of God. Many times we just read things, and we just read off of a screen. Isn't that right? And we never come out of the heart and just sing a new song to God and say, God, I love you and I worship you. And I just want you to know I appreciate you. And how about this, going off the script and saying, God, thank you I'm not dead right now. Thank you I'm not in hell burning like I should and my friends were back in 1980, whatever. Come on, some of us have friends who died in the 80s, 90s, whatever, and some just the other day. But, you know, to me, that's real worship. That's the truth part. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. The truth is the Word, and the Word set me free. And I don't need a script. I don't need a hymnal. I don't need a handcuff. Man, I feel the anointing tonight because I just want to worship. I want to worship him. I want this church to be known as a worshiping church. I want this church to be known as a church of the Spirit, that you can come in and get healed. You can come in and get a word from God. You can come in and feel the power of his presence. I don't want it to be known for the preacher. I don't want it to be known for his ability to preach or any of those things or giftings. I want it to be known for the Spirit of God. This commercial has been brought to you by Ignited Church, Livonia, Georgia, 580 East Main Street, Livonia. I mean, I'm serious, man. I am serious about that. Okay, so our first dimension is what? Spirit. First dimension. Our first reaction to anything in life. I know I'm going off notes from last week. I'm giving you something extra. But my first response should not be of the flesh when something happens to me. It should be of my spirit. That's hard. That's a big order, isn't it? It's a big order because when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you're supposed to pray in tongues. You're supposed to say, praise the Lord. Come on. Is anybody with me? But if you get around some folk, you don't want to hear what they're going to say. So my first dimension is in the spirit. Remember, Ezekiel prophesied about that. We saw that in Ezekiel, was that 36, 26 through 27. We won't go back there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If nobody got these notes. We're a new creation. Is that right? Old things have passed away. You know, some people say, well, you shouldn't judge and this and that. Well, we're supposed to know the people by their fruit. And if you sit there and tell me you're born again, you've been born again for 20, 25, 30 years, and you're still cussing. Yeah, you still got this issue. You still got that going on. Where's the new creation? I understand struggling and getting things out of your life and getting in order. I understand that. But if you've been doing it for 30 years and you still ain't fixed, y'all looking at me funny. That's all right. I'll get over here where I have friends. It's the truth. And then we don't do anything about it in church. We don't teach about it. We don't preach about it. We skirt around the issue, and we allow them to stay like they are and continue to go down the wrong path and really never change. Listen, if your car was broke down and for 30 years you kept taking it to the mechanic and they didn't get it fixed, do you think something's wrong? I'm going to get a new mechanic, or we're going to get him glasses, or we're going to get, you know. What'd you say? Jennifer says, I ain't paying him. You know, it's the same thing with our Christianity. If 30 years we're still dealing with certain things, we haven't got it fixed, something's wrong with not God, us, our issues, all right? We got to take it to the right mechanic, and he is that mechanic. All right, 1 Peter 3:4, remember that? The hidden man. The hidden man. That's what we need to work on, the internal man inside of us. So I gave you the write down man, and then underneath that was pneuma, and then it was psuche. Remember that? Human spirit, the human soul, And then tonight I'm going to have you write down the body, but that'll be towards the end of the teaching. And I'm just going to touch on the body before we leave, and it's not going to be heavy teaching because some of those things are pretty obvious. So we talked about 1 Corinthians 15:45. Remember that? The first Adam and then the last Adam. Okay? And then we talked about the intellectual part of the mind, which is your intellect, your brain, your thinking, evaluating self-consciousness. Okay, so let's go into tonight's teaching. I have a little lengthy of a statement to make that I want you to write down. And let me know when you're ready for that, for tonight's teaching. Okay, battle for the mind, kingdom perspectives. All right, my ability to control my mind, my ability to control my mind will give me the power to control my mouth. Let me read it again and I'll finish the statement. My ability to control my mind will give me the power to control my mouth, which will ultimately lead me to my destiny. My ability to control my mind will give me the power to control my mouth, which will ultimately lead me to my destiny. Okay? All that is done first, primarily, by the spirit man. Remember, I'm always going to talk when we're saying overpowering and guiding and harnessing and all that, we're always going to talk from the first person. We're always going to talk from the first dimension, which is your spirit, okay? So my ability to control my mind will give me the power to control my mouth. How many of y'all know it's not good to say the first thing that comes to your mouth, mind, and then to your mouth? Is that right? Because the first thing that comes to your mind is probably going to be wrong. You should probably spit first and then repent for what you thought. So if I can control my mind, it'll give me the power to control my mouth. And many of us operate first by our mouth than we do by our mind, our conscience. Is that right? We don't control the mind. We don't control the thought pattern, so we just let it come right out of our mouth. And when we do that, we can delay and we can even derail our destiny. It amazes me how many people can sit in a teaching about the Word of God and the power of the tongue and then go right outside and say the same thing they've been saying for years. They didn't learn nothing. And their mind rules, you know, in the negative side, it rules their mouth and they just say what they want to say because they never, watch this, trained the brain. You want to write that down. Trained the brain. Never trained the brain. You got to train your old brain. Now, this is hard for Pentecostal, charismatic, hanging off the chandelier folk like we are. Because charismatic Pentecostal, we want to go by the emotion side of things. Some of y'all now are really staring at me. It's the truth. You know, if instead of using your brain and using that tool and weapon God has given us and train that thing, we would be critical thinkers. We would think better. We would judge better. We would reason better. And we'd have better understanding. But because so many times Pentecostal charismatic folk that we are, like emotions, you know, there's some that can't stand a church service if somebody didn't run around or something emotional didn't happen. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? So I know you look smarter than you are right now. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We have been in those services. Man, I don't know. Spirit was dead there tonight. There was nothing happening. Nobody prophesied nothing. And the preacher just taught the Word of God. The teacher just put out a word to change your life, but because somebody didn't do a backflip or froth on the ground and got a devil cast out, there wasn't nothing spiritual in that. Hey, train the brain so you don't sin. How's that for teaching? Pretty good. We need it. We really need it. And then you get into other churches, they're brain dead anyways. They just come in dead and they shuffle out dead. They don't care. All right? So here's the next statement. It's like a funeral every service. You are going where your mouth is taking you. This is just added on there with the mind and the mouth, but I just want you to hear this. You're going where your mouth is taking you. Watch what you say and watch where you'll go. Let me say it again. You're going where your mouth is taking you. Watch what you say and watch where you will go. Remember that when you was growing up? You better watch what you say. You better watch what you say around me. Well, really, it's flipping around for our own selves. If I watch what I say, how do I watch it? With my mind. I think about what I'm going to say. I'm not talking about cussing. I'm not talking about these stupid things. You ought to be over that. I'm talking about, well, I got my paycheck. I'm broke again. I'm broke again. I mean, this is it. I'm going under. We're going to die. Gather the family around. We got to meet each other. We're all going to die. Let's hug. You would think with some people when they get their paycheck, that's what it was. It was enough to cover the funeral cost. It was enough to cover the flowers. And the reality is we can't talk that way. Well, you know, but it's right in front of me. I see my paycheck. I have to look at my paycheck and I have to say with my mind, which is the mind of Christ, I'm blessed. Thank God it wasn't $50 less. Thank God they didn't rob me. Thank God I got a job. Thank God I'm going to tithe off this, and God's going to bless the 90. In fact, I'm going to go in faith, and I'm going to not only give a tithe, I'm going to give an offering because I just trust God. You see? So my mouth, I have to watch what I'm saying, and I have to, and it's very easy. I'm not trying to make this a lackadaisical because, man, I've had to really, really train my mind and really train my mouth, and I am still under construction. I'm working on it. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather talk good things than walking around negative. I mean, I've lived in a negative household. I understand being raised that way, and I understand being around that. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And it's not against family or anything. You know, it's just life in general. And I don't like negative. I really don't. Now, I understand reality. It is what it is. I'm not going to go outside in the rain and say, boy, it's the driest day we had all winter. Or all summer, or all spring. Man, y'all look wet. I mean, that's just stupid. You know what I mean? But I'm not gonna go, the sky's falling, we're gonna die. I told Cindy today, I said, unless I see the girl from Kansas, what was that? Dorothy. I told her today, because we were talking about the tornado, I said, about canceling church. I said, if I see Dorothy flying by from Kansas, we'll cancel. Yeah, I told her I was going to preach on Noah tonight and how to survive the flood. So we're going to be good. You know, God's in this. You know, that's hilarious. But the mindset, let's go back to this. That's the reality. Where you are going where your mouth is taking you. Watch what you say and watch where you'll go. You know, well, again, oh, this is positive attitude. So what? When has having a positive attitude been a sin? When has it been pagan? When has it been unrighteous? The Bible's full of positive things. The Bible's full of positive thoughts and right thinking. You can't think about God without being positive, because everything about him is positive. Oh, man. So what's this got to do with where we're headed? It has everything to do with it because we're dealing with the mind. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Did I give you guys that last time we were together? Somebody got your notes? Right handy? I did not? Good. I saved that buckshot for this right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start out. That's going to be our start out scripture. And then we're just going to go on with everything else. Are you there? All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Watch this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body. Everybody see that? That's triune, isn't it? So there you have the triune. So we are three, as I've showed you in other places, but I wanted you to see it here. So God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a very, very powerful scripture. That he wants us, God, through the Holy Spirit, wants us to be preserved in our spirit, our soul, and our body. He wants us to be blameless. In other words, that there's no a charge against our account, a charge against our life. You say, how is that possible? Well, by the time we get done teaching this whole time here of the battle for the mind, you're going to see this, and you're going to recognize and realize you can live much higher than you do right now. You got to get out of the nephesh. Remember that? The seat of the appetites. That's the Old Testament definition. You've got to get out of that animal behavior. Now, when I say animal behavior, it's not sin necessarily. It's just the thinking that we have that's so low. We think so low. We think so low about ourselves. We think so low about others. And it messes our mind up. Well, you know, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You meet somebody first time, your mind does an instant inventory of what you think about that person. And then you come to find out you were pretty wrong. Most of the time, you do. You really do. You start to talk to them and you realize, hey, man, pastor is pretty cool. you're working on that part, but, you know, hang in there. Somebody call a medic. She's coughing up over there. You know what I mean? It's only been a few years. You'll get to know me. Has it been five now, has it? Some of y'all were five? Six? Oh, Lord, we're getting younger every day. All right. So that was the proof of the triune. I wanted you to see that. And so anytime you talk to somebody, you say, man, I'm triune, man. You're what? Yeah, man, I'm triune. Explain it to them what you mean by triune. They're probably going to think you're from some type of biker club. You know, we're with the triune. Whoa. No, man, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, so let's go on now to psuche. So if you got your notes there and you have that underneath the human soul, I want to talk to you about the psuche. And I want you to write down the few more of these descriptions, because a lot of people, again, don't realize that you are three parts. And they operate mostly out of the flesh and the psuche. God doesn't want you to have your psuche and your flesh taking dominion over your spirit. Never. You are spirit first. So here we go with psuche. I gave you some of that information about the intellect. Now we're talking about emotional. So write that down. That can be your next bullet point, and then I'll give you a few more after that. So emotional or emotions. We talked about the mind. Now we're talking about the emotions. The psuche is a seed of your emotions. Emotions are okay. Emotions are healthy. If they are geared, garnished, and harnessed by the Spirit, by the Word of God. Everybody has emotions. Again, emotions can be very good, and emotions can be very dangerous if you go too far. When somebody goes through grief, you have to quickly bring them out of grief. One of the methods that I use for grief is I console, I understand it, I try to be there, but then I don't let people stay there. You can't. Because if you stay in that emotion, you're gone. You'll live there. And then the devil has the right to come in. Because here's what happens with somebody who's in grief. And they say, okay, well, I have the right to feel this way. Then they gather around them people who feel the same and allow that grief to grow, and that door opens. Then the devil comes in, and the spirit of depression comes in. Then the spirit of oppression comes in. Then before you know it, there's possession, and then there's suicide. Now, suicide doesn't have to be taking of the life. Suicide can be the losing of the life. You don't have friends anymore. You don't go out anymore. You don't socialize anymore. Your life is dead. Do you see that? We can change that with people. So church has to be very careful when we console people who are dealing with grief. And grief doesn't have to be the loss of somebody. Grief can be the loss of a job. It could be anything. We can't let people stay there. We have to allow that moment, right? What does the Bible say? That weeping endures for the night, but the joy of the Lord comes in the morning. So we have to immediately bring people out of that and bring them the joy of the Lord, okay? And if they want to hang in that, you can't let them, especially if they're loved ones and near you. I can go on and on about grief and about about these things. One other thing I want to say, because somebody needs to hear this tonight, is you can't make a shrine to those who passed. If you make a shrine to those who passed, you allow the enemy the ability to stay as a familiar spirit. And then you'll have people say, well, I saw a vision of, oh, somebody, she or he's still in the house. We better rebuke that as fast as you humanly possibly can by the Holy Ghost and say, ain't nothing dwelling in here but the Holy Ghost. And I know this by personal experience. Somebody who lost a loved one came up to me and was telling me all this stuff. And I'm like, that ain't God. God don't do that. He doesn't allow that. You don't come back for a visit. You don't come back to check nothing out. You gone. See ya. I love you, but see ya. All right? So, I don't know why I went there. I just felt like I needed to go there. So, emotions. And that's good for you if you're trying to counsel to somebody. Get them back in the things of God, okay? In the things of joy. So, underneath emotions or emotional is feelings. That's the next number, if you want to call it one or whatever. However you do your outlines, it doesn't matter. Feelings. We got to be very careful with our feelings because our feelings get hurt. Every one of us, including me, everybody, we get our feelings hurt. Somebody, you know, does something to you, you get your feelings hurt. Well, can you avoid any of these things I'm fixing to teach you? No, you can't. But whether you stay in them and let them become a festering wound, that's up to you. That's up to you, okay? And as far as I'm concerned, I want to be healed as fast as I can. I don't do too good with pain. How about you? I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. I want to get it over with fast. Okay? Cut me, Mick. You know, I mean, like rock, just end this thing, all right? So feelings. You gotta understand that. All right. So number two, desires. Desires. Man, desires of the psuche of the solical man are tremendously strong. Super strong. Okay? God gave us those desires. We got to harness them. We've got to direct them towards the things of God. We've got to direct them in holiness. We got to direct them in righteousness. We can't let them be unfettered. We can't allow them to just run wild. Because how many of y'all got in trouble with your desires? You know, we just did. We just did some stupid stuff. But see, desires, and again, I'm coming at this from the psuche point because I want to show you some areas where we need to control, but then I'm going to bring us to the pneuma side later on in this teaching and give you some great tools, but you need to see this. So my desires, that's part of the psuche. That's where it comes from. Number three is mood or moods. Okay? These all tie in together with emotions. Mood. You know, we're moody people. Some people are moody for the rain, because of the rain. Some people are moody naturally. They're just moody. Some people hate mornings and hate me because I love mornings. Some people are night owls. They're moody. They like the night. Some people are just weird. And ain't nothing you can do about it. Okay? You know, so these are the emotional sides. If we took these things underneath this category of the psuche and we controlled it by the spirit, we would have less hurt feelings. Our emotions would be stronger. We'd be more healthy and whole people. Isn't that right? Our feelings would not be, you know, again, hurt so bad. Our desires would be stronger towards the things of God. We control our desires better. And then we wouldn't be so moody that is necessarily negative. Because, you know, a lot of people, when they get moody, they get sinful. They do. They get mean. They get mad. I mean, I get moody, too. I mean, you know, you go through something, you get an email, whatever. You go through something, and all of a sudden, it's like you were happy as can be, and now you're like, you know, that pit bull on the porch, biting anything that came by. And see, if we can control that, in the psuche, in the mind, by the spirit, we wouldn't be so moody and we wouldn't cause damage to people. Hey, there's a lot of people that don't go to church because of some moody usher, some moody deacon, some moody preacher, some moody, somebody back there with an attitude. And they just say, I'm not coming back to that church. Okay, so now under the will, underneath the will, it's kind of obvious what it is, but number one is deciding or decision, deciding or decision, volition. It's my will. I decide. It's how I make decisions. It's in your solical man. It's in the psuche, part of your triune person. God gives you a will. He gives you a will. He lets you choose. And there's a lot of people who say, God made me do this, and God said this, and God. A lot of it's just your will. You just didn't want to go to church. You just didn't want to be in this place. You just didn't want to do this. And I told you before that your will, listen to this, is the closest to the sovereignty of God. There's nothing in the universe. There's no other power as equal and as powerful as the will of God and the will of man. Because God says, I will for you to go to heaven, and man can say, I will not to, and he goes to hell. He did everything. He put the cross in the way. He put the blood in the way. He put a Christian in the way, but on and on and on. But the person chose to bypass the roadblocks of God, violated God's will, and went to hell. Hell was never created for man. God doesn't sit there and say, well, I'm just going to banish you and punish you to hell. No, God says, I don't want you to go to hell, but I'm warning you that's where you're headed. I love you, but I'm warning you. And then finally, man says, you know what? I don't care about your will. My will be done. So where's that found? That's found in the psuche. That's found in the intellect. That's found in the mind, in the solical realm of a person. Do you see this? And so it's very powerful force that we're dealing with. So out of the mind comes the emotions, the will, the whole solical realm. The whole life of a person, and this is for saved and unsaved people, because there's a lot of people who are saved who don't live by the Spirit. They live by the solical man. And so all of the dictates of their life is supposed to flow. The issues of life are supposed to flow out of your what? Heart, out of your spirit. But a lot of people allow their mind to filter everything. They filter their whole life. How do I feel? Just how do I feel today? Pastor sure didn't feel too anointed today. Or this doesn't feel right. Or, oh, that church this. Or I don't feel like praying. Everything comes out of the solical man instead of the spirit man saying, you know what, mind? I don't care what you say. We're going to pray. I don't care what you say. We're going to worship God. I don't care. We're going to read the Bible. Okay? So that is on the solical side, dealing with that. Now, what does that lead us to? Go to Galatians chapter 5. What does that lead us to? Watch this. Galatians chapter 5. I want to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read from verse 16. That's kind of further than I had written down, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we're going to teach on that more later on, but I want to hit it and go. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. You understand? Do you see that? Your flesh doesn't like your spirit, man. And Paul's talking to the Christian now. This is not to the heathen. This is not to the unsaved. This is to the Christian. Because the unsaved doesn't understand the war. The unsaved is just enjoying it. The unsaved is just... First of all, his spirit man's dead. All he does is live by the flesh, gets up and says, okay, woo, we're going to party. What's the next party we're going to go to, man? What are we going to do next? How many of y'all remember them days? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, that these are contrary, the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, they're obvious. They're right out there. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. Shall I go on? Why not? Heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such a like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, listen, the soul operates or steers the flesh. The soul, it operates and it steers the flesh. In other words, the flesh would not do any of these things if I did not allow my soul and my mind to give it permission. You know the old saying, dead men don't talk? Well, dead flesh don't sin. In other words, it's not the flesh that's necessarily committing the sin. Yes, your members are doing unrighteous things, but it is the soulical man that has not been regenerated or restored or renewed by the Word. And I'm going to get into this later. That man is still carnal. And we're talking Christians now. When you're born again, your spirit man's made alive unto Christ. He is renewed. He's regenerated. He's created. He's a new creation. He was something that he never was because it was dead. Now it's alive. It's your soul that has to be renewed, and it has to be restored and has to be revived so it doesn't allow your flesh to take dominion over you. Your flesh will send you to hell, but your mind will steer you there. Your flesh will take you to hell, but your mind will steer you there. Your flesh will take you to the divorce court, but your mind will let it happen. Your mind will just say, yeah, I don't need that blankety blank anyhow. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't need that so-and-so. I got it all right here. Come on now. And it happens all the time. And the mind goes wild, and the mind gets enticed. And the flesh tells the mind, yeah, look at this, look at me. I'm all that. Mm-hmm, yeah, you're all that. And next thing you know, your life is ruined. And so are the children, and so on and so forth. Is that right? So look at it. He said, so these are the works of the flesh. But it's the mind. It's the mind that puts us there. And he's talking to the Christian. He said, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And there's people in church right now that are doing what I just said right there from verse 19 to verse 21, and they think they're going to heaven. And they think they're going to inherit the kingdom of God. And they're practicing these things because their mind has not been renewed. Remember, my ability to control my mind gives me the power to control my mouth. And your mouth is a part of your flesh. Is that right? You can interchange mouth to hands, the feet, the toes, the eyeballs, whatever you want to say. It deals with your flesh. So Galatians 5:19, make sure you write that down. The spirit, the soul operates and steers the flesh. Yes, the body causes temptations. Yes, those things happen. And they're real. The temptations are real. The desires are real. But it's in the soulical man. We got to get a hold of that and recognize and realize that. Amen? It happens in church, too, with people being bitter, being divisive, and gossiping. Oh, that's enough right there to have an altar call. Just gossiping. Go in the church and be friendly with everybody and get outside and just rip them apart. But the Bible says to have the mind of Christ, to think well of everybody. Just because they act like a knucklehead or whatever, you don't have to chew them up and spit them out. Is that right? So, and I'm going to make the statement that's going to sound a little contrary, but I think it's powerful when you see it in this context. It's not your body that's sinning, it's you. It's not your body that's necessarily sinning, it's you. And when I say you, I bring that back to the psuche and the spirit man. The spirit man is too weak, the psuche is too strong, my emotions are too strong, my will is too strong, my desires are too strong, my feelings are too strong, my moods are too strong. I'm too strong in the soulical man, and I'm allowing the dictates of my flesh to override me, and therefore I commit sin with my body. Does that make sense? I allow the members of my body. Paul said to do what? Crucify, mortify the flesh, the members of unrighteousness. I'm telling my hand to do that. I'm moving my hand around so everybody that's not watching on camera is like, what's wrong with this guy? I mean, y'all move your hand around. Tell your hand to do what I just did. Tell your hand to wave at me. Now, if your hand involuntarily just does this, we need to talk. Who are you waving at? Nobody. I just do this. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody that has a muscular thing. I'm not being rude. My point is, I just told my hand to wave. I don't want my hand waving no more. It ain't going to wave. You understand? People say, well, I can't stop sinning. I just can't stop looking at pornography, Pastor. I just can't put this down. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. No, you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. You don't want to say, yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Because if you really wanted to stop, you'd stop. If my hand is smacking my face, I'm not going to sit there, yeah, I love this. This is awesome. And all of a sudden, I got black and blue face. I watch too much VeggieTales. You know what I mean? At some point, I got to say, hand, stop slapping my face. But saints, church folk call it, well, Pastor, I just can't do it, man. I've been trying to lay down these tobaccos and all this stuff I'm doing, and I just can't do it. No, you're in the solical part. You're in the suke. You're allowing your suke to have dominion, and you're telling your body, okay, do it, do this, do whatever you're doing. You're telling yourself it's okay to do it, and people get scripture, and they deceive themselves, and they hang under pastors who deceive them too, saying it's okay to do those things. That's why they don't like me sometimes, because I just tell it like it is. I just want you to go to heaven. Is anybody here? I just have a view of heaven. You know, I just want to get you there. I'd rather you get there without a cooler and a blunt in your hand. Or whatever. Cigarette, cigar, whatever they call them anymore. Is anybody here? And then people get mad at holiness and they get mad at righteousness. And I'm just trying to say, man, you know, wouldn't it be nice you didn't get lung cancer? Or mouth cancer. See, I lost everybody now. But it's the truth, isn't it? We want to live. Well, don't give in to the flesh. Is that right? Well, let's look at the rest of this here in Galatians so we can see the opposite side. And if I go back to that later on, just act like you never heard it before. But when I get into the teaching on the pneuma, I never heard this before. But I want to add it in here because it's powerful. Watch this, and we got to finish it. But the fruit of the Spirit. What am I primarily? Who am I? I'm a spirit man. I'm born again. Duh. But the church don't see this, Brother Mike. You're born again. You're a new creation. Act like it. If you're born again, why would you want to look at that stuff? Why would you want to be a part of all that junk? If you're born again and spirit man first, your soul, your suke has to get in line with the Word of God. Well, you don't ever do it. Listen, man, I'm not going back to the vomit. This is what Paul was talking about, going back to the vomit, a dog going back to the vomit. I'm not going back. I don't care what she looks like. I don't care how much money she's got. I don't care what this has. I don't care what they offer me. And I ain't going back. I'm stuck on God. Let me move on. Y'all look bored. Watch this. I'll get you out of here before the big rain comes or whatever's coming. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. There's your antidote right there. Well, I can't. Yes, you can. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23. There's your antidote. There's your fix. There's my fix. To live in the Spirit. Is that right? You go back to verse 17, he says it, man. In verse 16, if I just follow the Spirit, I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to override my suitcase, my mind. Listen, folks, if we would ever drop our morality, our God consciousness, our righteousness towards God, being bent towards God, I dare wonder what we'd look like right now. I wouldn't even be on this planet. I've always said I'd either be jail, hospital, or hell. That's my destination, man. So I got to let my spirit man rule. You got to let your spirit man rule. Isn't that right? Okay? So let me go on to the suke, and I'm going to get out your way. Can you give me about 2 more hours? Miss Sarah just grabbed a pillow. She'll be out. No, give me 10 more minutes, Miss Sarah. We're going to go. I know everybody's got stuff to do, but watch this. I got to finish this. Underneath the solical mind, part of the mind, or the suke, confusion. You can write this down. If you can't get it all, just get it on the CD. Self-righteousness, self-examination. A lot of us examine ourselves by ourselves, and that's dangerous. You better examine yourself by the Word. Have a good examination of yourself. You shouldn't think bad of yourself. You're created in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. All your members written down in His book. You should be very thankful for the life you have. Thankful for the members of your body. Thankful for everything, your eyes, your eye colors, your hair color. All things that God created you individually, unique and awesome. That's you. Don't try to be nobody else. Okay, but we have to be careful with self-examination. Then we can go to the other side where we're prideful. Some people are so prideful they need double doors to get in. Some of y'all need to bring the roll-up door in the back there and get you in here. Disappointment. Your spirit man doesn't get disappointed. It's your solical man. Because your spirit man has an appointment. I've got an appointment. I've been appointed by God. Defeat. Discouragement and failure. Immaturity. Impotence. Lack of ability, lack of power. Okay? Now let me give you the spiritual side of this, and then we're going to go over the body and I'm out of here. That'll be my 10 minutes, okay? And then we're going to start hitting on how to get this solical man steering our flesh, or excuse me, our spirit man helping the solical man steer this flesh to get us right back in line where we need to be, okay? That's where we're going to head from here. But I had to give all this foundation for you because, again, we don't understand that we're triune and we just cannot live in that emotional, solical realm, okay? So here we go. On the pneuma side, this is going to be very brief. I already gave you Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Spiritual fulfillment. Spiritual fulfillment. You ever just, and you may be experiencing this right now, but you just feel so complete in God. You really don't care what happens next. You're just satisfied. That is so powerful of a feeling to have soul in your spirit. Spiritual fulfillment. You can't get that operating in the flesh. You can't get that with the solical man in operation. You got to be walking by the Spirit, all right? Intuition, that's from the spirit man. What do you mean, intuition? Knowing things you couldn't know in the five senses realm. Knowing things that are beyond the natural, okay? Giftings can come in there as well. So communion. I don't talk to God in my flesh necessarily. I can use my flesh to communicate. I clap my hands. I stomp my feet. I use my mouth. I have my mind. I think of God. I meditate. I ponder. I imagine on Him, of course. But my spirit man, that's when I really have communion with God. Okay? Conscience. Remember that little song we used to sing as a little kid about conscience? Okay? What is the conscience? That's the voice of the Spirit, of your spirit and really the Holy Spirit coming together, communicating to you. Your conscience will tell you when you've done wrong, right? So let the Spirit rule. So life in the Spirit is next, or excuse me, live in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. That could be life as well. So I live in the Spirit. I can't do that with my psuche, and I cannot do that with my flesh, but they can experience it. Walk in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Boy, I love singing in the Spirit. Just sing in the Spirit. Just a new song. Just come up with something and just, you know, whatever. I'm not even going to make you nauseated with my singing, but the Lord loves me. Amen. Sing in the Spirit. Reigning with Christ. Your spirit man reigns with Christ. Even now you reign with him. That's how favor and authority and dominion operates in your life here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm reigning with Christ. I don't have to wait to heaven. I get a special endowment, a special privilege, you do too, to reign now. And one of the greatest ways to reign is the spiritual man reigning over the body and the psuche. More than conquerors. In the spirit realm, we're more than conquerors. Now these next four I absolutely love. Not more than the others, but I love them. No condemnation. There is no condemnation in the spirit of a man that's born again. No guilt. I've got no guilt tonight. How about you? The blood of Jesus made it all right. All my wrongs I've ever did, I'm sorry, I'm shameful, but I have no more guilt. The blood has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I don't owe anybody nothing. No worry. No worry. I'm not talking about not having, you know, you can have restless nights and you can you go through all different emotions, and there's spiritual things about emotions, you know, if something's going on, something prophetically. But no worries. I mean, I have no worry. I literally, everything's fine with me and God. I have peace with God. I have no worry, okay? And so I need to let that spill over into my soulical man, into my flesh. My soulical man has to hear from, be ruled by my spirit man to say, don't worry. It's going to be okay. How many of y'all just hate when someone tells you it's going to be okay when you're worrying? Well, you don't know what I'm feeling, brother. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm probably the one of the worst to tell me you're worrying, because I will do a cold plunge bucket over you and just say, hey, wake up. You're okay. You really are. You really are. Because we're not going to worry. Okay, then finally is no fear. I love those four things, because those can debilitate you and really mess you up in the soulical realm, but your spirit man doesn't have them. So your spirit man takes over and says, I don't have any condemnation. I don't have any worry. I don't have any fear. I don't have any guilt in my life. I've got no worries at all. God is for me. If God be for me, who can be? But don't you know they're fixing to foreclose? And don't you know they're fixing to do this? And don't you know, don't you know, don't you know? Yeah, I know all those things. But for some reason, he said, I'll give you peace that passes all understanding. And I've got the peace that passes all understanding. I can't help it, right? We got that, and that's what our spirit man should do. And then finally, you just write this down, Revelation 1:6. Read it when you have time. But he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory, dominion forever and ever. I'm a king and a priest. I've never seen a king wringing his hands about his treasure chest, about his kingdom. And neither should a priest who has relationship with God. Okay? Now, make your human body circle on that on your notes, and I'm going to give you these, and then I'm out of here. It's pretty simple, pretty basic. Let me give it to you. Human body, 5 senses: touch, taste, smell, hearing, and sight. Touch, taste, smell, hearing, and sight. And you can put on top of that the world of touch, the world of taste, the world of smell, the world of hearing, the world of sight. That's the human body. Those are the 5 senses God has given us. And every one of them can either mess you up or really be a powerful thing. They're a miracle. The five senses are a miracle. When we have the ability to touch and see and hear and taste and all those experiences that we have, that's an amazing miracle that God gave us. But if we don't rule that in and we don't rein that in by the soulical man dominated by the spirit man, how many of y'all know your five senses will get you in big trouble? Get you in big trouble. It can take your health down. It can take a lot of things down. So it's an incredible gift we have to harness, and it has to be renewed by the Spirit, because we have renewed by the Spirit through the Word of God, because we have the mind of Christ, and He's given us the victory. All right, so this is the breakdown I wanted to give you on the Spirit, the soul, and the body. And like I said, next time we get together, we're going to start targeting how we can harness this power and operate as a spirit man that we are. Father, I love You, and I thank You so much that You have not forsaken us. Jesus, You were tempted by all means and manner as we are. You are our high priest who fills the infirmities of our flesh. You know exactly where we are today, and You are helping us on this journey to victory. Lord, we know there's some very, very hard times ahead of us, but we also understand greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world, and we must be strong in our spirit man first so that we can rescue the multitudes who will be in great fear. Bless Your people. We look forward to Sunday morning. Keep us safe, God, and thank You so much for the rain. We've needed it, and we bless You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love You. Amen. I love You. Amen. I love You.